systems are offline.
Eve Radio Live, powered by TCS Wi-Fi.
It is my favourite time of the week now as well, Kane, and I know it is yours. Good afternoon and welcome to Tech Thursday on eRadio. How's it going, Kane? How's your week been so far?
Thanks so much for having me on. It's always awesome to come in and drop in some new tech news. I'm doing well. My week has been good, you know. I'm happy, and that's all that matters, you know, getting through and getting further ahead. I'm so excited to go over some of our news this week because we've got some really, really cool stuff. Just for example, I'll run through a few of the things that we will be chatting about. I mean, SpaceX finally landed their Starship rocket. They crashed a few times trying to get that right. Bugatti makes a pool table for yachts. Can you believe it?
Yo.
Okay. IBM unveils groundbreaking new 2-nanometer chip technology, which is going to be up to 45% faster than the current. And then also Musk Starlink enterprise satellite internet service gets 500,000 pre-orders. How crazy is that? And we even have a slip up on Twitter. Google accidentally announced their Pixel Buds A by mistake.
Oh my gosh.
What do you have for us?
How did they do that, Kane?
Well, you know, that's the question. You see, you have a marketing department that's always doing things, and then sometimes someone accidentally posts something that they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Or the company decides to have a very like soft launch and decides to leak information on purpose to create hype, like we just experienced now.
I've got a missing Roomba vacuum cleaner. They're still looking for it. we're gonna have some Bill Gates jokes as well, because let's face it, he's been all over the news this week. So many memes, I'm telling you. Also, there's a new DStv bundle. It's around 1,300 rand per month. That includes everything. They've now loaded all the services on your decoder. Then also, Google is giving its employees more flexibility to work at home. Donald Trump is still banned on Facebook. Amazon's got a nice recruitment drive here in South Africa. Many technical support and management jobs available in the big cities. Then WhatsApp's deadline to accept their brand new regulations or policy is just around the corner. If you don't accept it, your WhatsApp's not going to work after, I think, the 15th of May. It's just around the corner. We'll look at that. Gosh, I don't know how we're going to get through all of this. Also, plans to shut down 2G in the country, Honda's electrical vehicle rollout in the country, and that new Netflix feature, Play Something. I found it. I've got it on my TV box. I tested it, and I'm very chuffed. I'll share my feedback a little bit later on, Kane.
How cool is that?
When are we
news?
Doing the Bill Gates jokes?
Let's go straight in.
Okay.
I mean, I want to hear yours. You told me you got something.
Okay, but no, I'm going to leave a few for later, but I think the best one that I've got today is this one. What was the final kind of chat? What was the final words? What were the final words of Bill Gates to his wife just before he left her?
Oh, I don't know. Blue screen of death. Oh no. Do you want to hear mine?
Yes.
How does Bill Gates count to 10? 1, 2, 3, 95, 98, NT, 2000, XP, Vista, 7, 8, 10.
Makes sense. Makes sense. I always said, man, they should have had it, you know, in numerical order, because it's so confusing.
No, these jokes are good. What did Microsoft employees say to Bill Gates after his motivational speech? Word.
Love it. There's so many of them, but some of them are visual and you need to actually see them to get them. But we obviously sharing some ones that translates well on the radio that you don't necessarily have to see. A lot of them you need to see. There's one with a blue screen of death. I saw that one this week as well. There's a massive divorce settlement happening there, actually. You can imagine how much money he's got. It looks like on the day that she filed for divorce, he lined his wife's pocket with nearly $2 billion. I think that was probably just the start off point. I don't know.
Jeepers.
How much money does this guy have?
I read somewhere that there's like 2 trillion rand for grabs in the divorce settlement. Can you imagine that lawyer? Just like, I can't wait to get my 5%.
All sorts of commission will be slipping in there, I'm sure.
Jeepers. Everybody's out to get every side. The news is all over it, eh? They knew, I think, from the beginning. Like, as soon as this goes public, it's going to explode.
Yeah, and also everybody's saying now that they wish they were the ones divorcing Bill Gates.
Did they ever give a reason as to why that's happening?
The two of them splitting. Apparently, I don't know what there was a report. It kind of just seems that they grew apart.
Right.
To sum it up, yeah.
I mean, there must be a lot of pressure around with this COVID thing that's going on and everything.
But they're still going to work together with their charity missions, so that's nice. So there's no bad blood. It's just like, we grew apart, we're no longer married, let's see other people.
Even if there was bad blood, I don't think they can allow it to go public. It would detriment both their...
We'll never know, hey? No, we'll never know the real story. Yeah, that's just the one. I just learned it again this week. You will never know the full story. It's all about what it looks like on the outside. Absolutely. Keeping up appearances.
Especially when you're that popular.
Oh, for sure. You're on first.
Okay, so speaking of Bill Gates, I think we can start out talking about the new groundbreaking 2-nanometer chip technology. I mean, this is some crazy stuff, and there's been a lot of speculation over the last few years as to where is the limit by which, you know, we can go smaller and smaller in terms of nanochip technology. Nanochip technology is basically like the technology used to build the processor in a modern smartphone or in a computer. It's basically the size between the components, so to speak, within your processor. And it's not as simple as that, but that's the gist of it. And we've basically, you know, the mainstream was a 7-nanometer chips, and these 2-nanometer chips are up to 75% more power efficient. And that's a big deal, especially for a lot of circumstances, especially like for Bitcoin mining and things like that. You're consuming a lot of electricity. Mm. There was actually a thing that I found quite funny going around on Reddit. It said that Bitcoin banks consumed 630% more power in the last year than Bitcoin did. But a bank has 1 trillion... you know, monthly transaction, or 1 trillion transactions in the duration, while Bitcoin only has like 120 million, you know? So it uses a lot of power. In retrospect, you're making a lot less transactions and you're using a lot more power. And in that regard, finding technology that we can use that is more power efficient to output, it's going to be a strive in the right direction. So these new chip technologies are going to be used in smartphones like Apple iPhones 12 models and things like iPhone 13 models and things like that. We as the consumer won't necessarily hear about it. It's more of a marketing term. But there is some really interesting facts about that nanometer terminology, because everybody kind of thinks, you know, just the way we are in terms of comparison, if something is greater, it's either better, or something is smaller, it's either better. But that's not necessarily the case with the size of processing chips. When you get very small, you run into issues. Like when you get very, very small chips, you run into issues with like quantum tunneling and things like that becoming an issue. But, you know, 5 nanometers and 3 nanometers and so on are just marketing names. There is nothing about that that makes it 5 nanometers other than the company in question saying it. So it's not necessarily a massive technological advancement, but we are striving towards the end of as small as we can go. And we've made, like, this could be the final advancement in terms of getting smaller and smaller. But it's just very interesting to know that when we thought 7 nanometers was the smallest or very small, we now go to a commercial 2 nanometers. It's a big difference, you know. It's more than 3 times smaller. It's just, it's crazy how fast we're advancing technologically.
Very exciting.
I think I even have here, you know, in 2000s, in the 2000s, the size of a chip was about 45 nanometers. you know. So we've really come a hell of a long way since the 2000s in terms of getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And you're talking about tiny, tiny little sizes, and you're putting all that into a process. It's very complicated and very interesting to see us advance so fast.
Thanks, Kane. Listen, today's show, I almost forgot to mention, is brought to you by the family looking for their lost Roomba. Roomba is one of those vacuum cleaners. What do you call them? Those little flat vacuum cleaners that it kind of, what do you call those?
It's like an electronic or a robot vacuum. It's a robot that vacuums your house for you.
It crashes against the walls a lot, and then it just turns around and it carries on.
It's like a giant ice puck, basically, it looks like.
But it looks cute. But anyway, they've lost their Roomba. They say, my husband left our bungalow door open and our Roomba escaped. We followed his cleaning track for 4 kilometers down to the beach where we lost his trail. Higgins, that's his name, cannot swim. Please help us to bring Higgins back. So I think Higgins went into the sea. He is 35 centimeters by 9 centimeters high, and he weighs 2.8 kilograms. He does not bite, and his battery was last on 3%, and his dustbin is 190% full. If you've seen Roomba, please return him to
these
people.
It's probably from all the sand that got his dustbin so full.
Shame, yeah. I think it's safe to say Roomba has gone into the ocean.
No, he's gone.
He's gone for a swim. They say he can't swim. Shame, man.
You try to clean
Maybe he's
ocean.
Floating.
Floating. Flying. Who knows?
Shame, man. We're about to go for a break. Kane, what have you got for us when we come back?
We're going to be talking about SpaceX finally successfully launching their Starship rocket, and Bugatti, who made a 4 million rand pool table.
Oh, wow. Okay, lekker. Looking forward to it when Tech Thursday comes back. You're on Tech Thursday on eRadio, and it's time for us to carry on with some more news. Kane, of course, has got only the best in the news for us. Always interesting stories. Where do you find these stories, Kane? Do you just collect them? Do they just show up in your feeds? Do you chase them? Do you chase them down?
I don't know. I read a lot, actually. A lot of different stuff all over the place. And I definitely find a few things that I can say are for this or for that. Yeah. I have one of my friends that I just send a certain category of content to. He never answers it, but I just keep sending it there for in hopes that one day I return and just go through it all, you know.
Yeah.
So the one I found actually was very interesting. So those of you who have been following SpaceX's attempts to launch one of their Starship rockets into the air and actually successfully landed, both times they tried previously, it exploded once before it landed on the ground, and then once, as soon as it landed on the ground, it exploded. And now they finally landed their rocket without it exploding. It went up into the air, kind of did a little pivot in the air, fell onto its belly, and then kind of descended back to Earth and came upright again and landed successfully. They say it like it was successful, but there was a fire that was burning for some 20 minutes after it landed.
Sounds like a Tesla.
They've got the same problem.
Where's the pool?
The thing is, they keep making fires they can't put out.
Yeah.
And Elon also makes some fires for Tesla that they can't put out. Yeah. Bigger, more different problems, but problems nonetheless.
Yeah.
So they say, you know, this doesn't mean that we're heading off to Mars immediately within the next immediately with between 50 and 200 tons of gear, but it is another step along the way of getting off the planet, you know, and testing off planet colonization. I mean, I love how we get a rocket into the air like to fall over a little bit and then come back and land, and they're like, we're ready to go off to Mars. Like, we're not even ready for the moon yet. You want to get to the moon first. I mean, if you had a rocket like that, that's the first thing you should do. Go to the moon, check it out.
It's too risky now. Take a selfie.
I wonder where Elon Musk's Tesla is. Remember, he sent a Tesla into space and just let it drift upon.
It's
still drifting through there.
Probably one of those lights you see at night up in the sky. Wonder what it is.
So the next thing is, I mean, this is very fascinating. So, you know, not all of us have problems, you know, where we have to be able to play pool on our personal yacht and not have the balls roll around. Bugatti, having their own yacht, decided we need our own pool table where the balls don't roll around. So they built one and they made it cost 4 million rand. And they're only building 30 of them.
The balls aren't rolling around. Are they like magnetic or what's keeping them?
They've managed to actually do this in collaboration with the Spanish carbon fiber specialist IXO. And it looks exactly like you expect a luxury car branded pool table to look. It has a carbon fiber body with a sleek metal frame, leather lined stainless steel ball pockets, and a smooth blue velvet surface. All of which has various Bugatti tags and brands all over it. It also comes with a matching Q support and ceiling light, a set of carbon fiber cues, a touchscreen display for keeping score, an aluminium chalk box, a cleaning brush, a leather suitcase for transporting your billiard balls, and customers also get a USB with various videos and photos of the table's building process. The whole thing costs $300,000, which is already a pretty penny, but for unspecific amount more, you can kit your Bugatti pool table out with a self-leveling system specifically aimed at making it usable on the high seas. The table uses a gyroscopic sensor to recognize the movements of your yacht atop the waves and adjust its legs to keep you perfectly level as you play. I mean, this is the only table in the world you're going to be going through a storm.
I was
going to about to fall off, and your pool balls are just
and
perfect.
The guys are still playing pool. I don't think they'll be standing, but the balls will definitely still be on the table.
I mean, I want one. I can't tell you that, but I love how the pool table is $300,000. It comes with all the bells and whistles, but for an unconfirmed amount more, you can actually use it on the sea. You know, that part doesn't include the gyroscope. That's for more money.
Yeah.
You know? And only 30 of them available. If Bugatti did a giveaway of that, I mean, you would have some serious attention.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we come back to South Africa. This is quite interesting. I see MultiChoice released a new DSTV bundle. It's called the Ultimate DSTV Bundle. You will pay 1,276 rand per month and gain, wait for it, 36 cents. And what you will get is you'll get your Explorer with the DSTV Premium loaded on it, an Ultra Decoder. You'll get Showmax, Netflix Premium, Amazon Prime Video, and YouTube Premium. It's all included. They each have their own buttons on the remote for quick launch. And in total, you'll pay 1,276 rand per month.
I mean, let's be totally honest. The 1,300 rand is basically like you're covering your house and your car insurance. Like,
yeah,
it's not a little bit of money.
Mm.
You know, it's a lot of money. And for a person who might not be that financially sound, they're going to be asking themselves, house insurance or DSTV? Which one do I want? You know?
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, they actually have a breakdown here of what you get. On DSTV Premium, you get 60 entertainment channels, 15 sport, 10 kids channels, 95 audio channels. And then they say Showmax, more than 1,000 movies, 452 TV shows, Netflix Premium, almost 3,500 movies, and just about 1,900 TV shows, more than 10,000 movies on Amazon Prime, 1,219 TV shows, and then for YouTube Premium, you also get ad-free YouTube and YouTube Music included. This is all on your decoder.
So you get Amazon Prime, not Netflix.
Amazon Prime Video and Netflix Premium.
Included in the 1,200.
It's all included, yeah. Is it a bargain or not?
I mean, well, Amazon Prime is, what, 170, 80 rand a month?
80, and I don't know, they're charging 86 rand 37 cents for that, for Amazon Prime.
80 rand.
That's $5.
On an over and above the 1,300.
That's included.
Included. So it's 80 bucks for Amazon Prime, 129 rand for Netflix.
Netflix, so 169 they've
So 170 plus 80 is like 260. Call it 260.
So how are they making money on this deal?
They're still making 1,000 rand on that. And I'm fully happy with it. I mean, they made the right decision including it, because understand the market that they're stretching for. It's not necessarily about the millennial, because we will have full, we know how to get things cheaper. It's going to be towards the older generation who doesn't even know how to differentiate getting from Netflix to DStv to Amazon Prime. It's an ordeal. It's an ordeal having to, if one aspect you have to connect a laptop and visit, that's just a whole nother complication for, you know, an older person to do.
That's
out the window. Then you have the top box, so that's another whole thing that you have to learn. So it's a very all-in-one encompassing product. But also the reality is, like, what if I told you while you're watching Netflix now, you can't pause, okay? You can't... You know, you can't choose when you're watching the show. Just shows play all the time and you choose which channel to watch the show on. It could start at any minute.
Nah.
If you go onto a channel that's halfway through, you can't start it from the beginning. That's cable. That's satellite. Yep. That's satellite TV. And it's not an optimal product, to be quite honest.
Not anymore.
You got to kind of engineer your own life around the schedule of the TV, or have a PVR and the ability to record all of your stuff. So there is some ways to get around it. Is it something that I would do? Not necessarily. Would I recommend it for someone to set up a home entertainment system and get it done and not have to worry about multiple things and signing it?
Simple. It's going to be easier. First. You're so right, Kane. I think it's going to be easier for the older people because it's just one button that you push and it's all in one place. I think that's what they're trying to do.
You don't have to go from AV to HDMI.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Just create this central point where everything is accessible.
Exactly.
And then you also, I mean, even old people can use it, like really old people.
They're basically merging a DStv decoder with the top box, a TV box.
Yeah.
You know?
There will literally be a Netflix button on your remote. And an Amazon button on your remote, and a DStv button, and then a Netflix button. So it's easy. And a YouTube button. It's quick launch.
All in one place.
Yeah.
They thought outside the box of that. They're going to get mutilated by smart TVs.
I think they saw that, you know, it's a case of if you can't beat them, join them. And saw, hey, Netflix going to whoop our asses here. We got to come up.
I don't think they had a lot of other options. It's like being stranded at sea and there's one barrel. You know, there's one barrel that can keep you alive, and it's that solution. I don't think they could have made it another way.
Yeah. They didn't wait long, eh? They were on it quite quickly.
They are facing the death of their whole business. I would hope that they go as fast as possible because it's going out the way. I mean, it's not, let's get Netflix. Okay, go onto the TV. Sign up. Okay, credit card information. Let's get DStv. Okay, Dish. We got to install the Dish. You know, you got to get people here. It's a whole bit. It's a whole shenanigans. And if something hits your Dish, cheers.
Yeah.
Connection.
Just a little bit. Even with these storms we're having now in the Western Cape. Just a little bit of wind. If it wasn't installed properly, just a little shift. I had it at our former place. Just a little push, just a little shift, and it loses its entire connection.
Completely lost.
And you sit on your TV, you've got these little blocks.
You're watching snowfall.
No, before the snow comes, there's these little blocks. It breaks up into these thousands of blocks.
Oh, it goes
and then,
completely.
Oh, and don't even have your sound on. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
It's the worst glitchy sound I've ever heard.
Stick to Netflix.
And also, when it rains, most dishes can't handle the rain. When it really rains, when you have heavy rain, you lose picture almost immediately.
Big time. Before I know how easy it is to I could talk about Netflix forever, quite honestly.
Same.
But Starlink gets 500,000 pre-orders across the world. It's an astonishing thing. I mean, if you're any small business owner or you're contemplating starting a business, I mean, trying to get your first 500,000 users is the whole two first years of marketing, you know? And here they come, there's SpaceX, Tesla, Starlink, Elon Musk, whole brand name. Oh yeah, we're thinking, you know, we might launch a product. It's definitely gonna be here. We can't guarantee any service at the current time. We can't tell you when you're going to get service. We can't tell you that we will refund you if you don't get service. And you get 500,000 people, I'll do it. You know, they're not even getting internet yet. It's just a deposit. So to have 500,000 pre-orders, I mean, game developers will be envious. New smartphone manufacturers will be envious. Everybody will be envious of that achievement. And you know, they wanted to have the service go live in 2020. It didn't go according to plan. The company plans to eventually deploy 12,000 satellites into low Earth orbit. That's a big problem, in my opinion, especially for wide angle observatories and, you know, especially for the whole astrology profession is at risk. I mean, if you're looking into the night sky and now you have these bright beaming lines that mess up your long exposure shots and things like that. And that's a lot of satellites. It's not a little bit. It's 12,000. It also affects things like launches. If you have a mesh of satellites around the Earth and you want to launch a rocket into space, the satellites are in the way. You're going to collide with those satellites.
And then people are going to lose DSTV and stuff.
DSTV, internet, who knows? The rocket might explode and turn back and fall. Speaking of falling rockets, did you know China launched a rocket? And it went into space.
Now I'm worried.
And it disengaged from its shuttle part, the part that propels it into space.
Was it made in China?
Yes. It was made in China. It was supposed to go into orbit again and then descend and land in the ocean. Okay. But it didn't go according to plan. So we have an 11 metric ton basic shell of what that rocket was falling back to Earth in low Earth orbit
right now it's
the biggest object to land on Earth from outer space.
Is it right
1990.
Now
right now
is it is it on its way
weeks,
right now
in the next 2 weeks it's gonna land somewhere.
Have we got any idea where it's gonna land?
It's literally the middle hemisphere.
It be South Africa?
It's South Africa's there, Australia's there, some of upper South America, lower North America. I mean, it's in that whole region. It covers a part of Europe.
Okay, so I'll just remember that when I go to sleep within the next 2 weeks that I might wake up with a rocket shell in my room.
No, it's no joke. Eh? I mean, it's 100% legit. It's the heaviest thing to fall to Earth since
I'm worried now.
1990.
Especially with the China bit. I'm a bit worried now.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Is it going to leave a hole, or do you think it's just going to be like an explosion, or when it hits the Earth?
There was an asteroid that I think it was in 2014 or 2015 that went into a part of Russia. It broke up in the atmosphere above Russia, and the sound waves alone from it breaking the sound barrier shattered like glass within 300-400 kilometers. Just all glass, just shattered. All the injuries that came from it were from glass. And that was an example of a heavy object, you know, falling back into the atmosphere. Will it create like a meteor kind of crash? No, probably not. Will it cause a lot of damage if it lands on land?
Hell yes.
Definitely. Will it cost a lot if it lands on land that is populated with buildings and things? Definitely.
It's going to cost a lot
of
lives as well.
It was supposed to land in the ocean. Just fall into the ocean.
Yeah, so we need to make peace with the fact that soon on death certificates there could be China rocket. Could be a new cause of death on a death certificate.
Fingers crossed it just falls into the ocean.
But
like,
please don't land. If you're listening, rocket shell, please, if you can hear me out there in space, don't land in South Africa. We've been through enough. We've been through enough. Please.
We don't need another one.
No.
Get the eRadio SA app right now for free on the Google Play Store. Entertainment radio on the go.
Minutes to go to 4 o'clock. It is Tech Thursday on eRadio. It's Ian and Kane with you till 4 o'clock. We're having a good time. Hello to Keenan Williams, listening all the way from Cape Town. He's saying it's a nice show. He says it's a good report. Thanks, Keenan. Thank you so much. Kane, say hello to Keenan.
What's up? Good to
What's
have you on the WhatsApp.
Yeah, on the WhatsApp line. Now, Google is giving its employees more flexibility to work from different locations or entirely from home. We know that that's actually something they've started in the middle of the pandemic, but they now also rearranged offices to create more features for what it calls a hybrid return to work. In an email, he said that is the chief executive officer Sundar Pichai. said he expects about 60% of Google staff will work in the office a few days a week. Another 20% will be able to relocate to other company sites, while the remaining one-fifth can apply to permanently work from home. I would apply to permanently work from home. Listen, in a filing, Google reported that it saved $268 million in expenses from company promotions, travel, and entertainment during the first quarter of the year. It is just, it's expensive to get to work.
It is.
A lot of people spend their entire salary to get to work. Why are you working then? To get to work.
And it's then a massive
drive. You get a salary and you pay that salary to get to work again. What a terrible cycle.
Usually you can get kickback from the company to cover the expense, but then the company's taking the expenses, and does it make a lot of sense for you to be paying for unnecessary travel? I mean, it might make sense, you know, it doesn't make sense to have the employee pay his salary in transport, but it also doesn't make sense to pay one employee and in essence the transport cost for that one employee and miss out on being able to hire completely another employee who doesn't need the transport. So in that sense, a company would benefit from being able to work remotely. The alternative issue though is that it's very hard to manage an individual from home or from two different locations. You don't have the face-to-face, you can't just tap them on the shoulder, you don't have layers of communication. You can't all sit around a table, everything has to be done by Zoom. You can easily mute yourself or turn off your camera in a Zoom meeting.
Some people forget to do that.
Absolutely, I mean,
embarrassments?
Where you just see them doing something completely
not there was this
to.
One woman, she was sitting there and her boss was busy talking and she was just like giving the middle finger to the camera the whole time. And then her boss stopped talking and she said, excuse me, Debbie, is there a problem? And then Debbie was going middle finger, middle finger, middle finger. She didn't know her camera was on.
Never do that ever.
Don't do that.
Always treat it as on. Always don't ever speak to your boss or your employer on the phone and then just, you know, start talking and saying all bunch of talk around your friends while you think the phone's off. You're just asking for trouble, you know. Don't even go down that avenue.
Hey, Keenan's actually saying, and it's a very valid point, if you work from home, you don't only save on petrol, you also save on clothes. Because you can just wear crappy clothes like me.
Or wear nothing.
Or wear the same clothes like Mark Zuckerberg every day.
Does he wear the same clothes every day?
Yeah. But apparently not like same. Like they all look the same, but the same t-shirt until it falls off his body.
He wears the same. I would go crazy wearing the exact same clothes for a month. I would wake up the next month thinking one day went by.
Look at Mark Zuckerberg. He always looks the same. Always the same shirts.
And haircut.
Yeah. Do you think he's a robot?
I have no idea.
A lot of people say he's I saw these conspiracy theories videos, and there's a lot of evidence to back that up. And he's actually a robot. He is very robotic, actually.
He is.
So he could
a robot.
Be a robot. He could be a robot. I don't know.
I've never shaken his hand. I wouldn't know.
He could
never
be a robot.
Never had a conversation with the man. I'm just friends on Facebook.
Yeah. But otherwise, he is just very robotic. You get some people, especially. And no disrespect, but some nerds, as they call them, they are actually very robotic.
That is so funny.
It's just the way they work.
I heard such a funny joke. It wasn't about Mark Zuckerberg, but it was about Bill Gates. And it was about a kid. It was all, obviously, it's a joke, so it didn't happen in real life. But a kid walks up to Bill Gates and he's like, you know, hey, Bill, how's it going? I see you having lunch here at this restaurant. You know, I think me and you were in similar positions way back. I'm taking some colleagues out for lunch. Would you mind just coming up to the table and saying, you know, hey, Dave, check you later? You know, give me a little bit of reassurance. You know, help me just boast a little bit to my friends. So he leaves Bill and he's thinking about it and he kind of smiles, you know, and says, like, he thinks to himself, okay, I'm going to go, I'm going to do this. So the kid's having his business appointment. Bill walks up to the table and he says, okay, you know, hey, cheers, Dave, good to meet you. And he says, buzz off, Bill, I'm busy. Can't you see I'm having a work meeting?
Yo. Ouch. But since we're talking about jokes, I see Donald Trump remains banned from posting on Facebook. He's still banned on Facebook after all this time. What's happening with his social network?
The social network. I haven't heard any feedback on it yet. I mean,
I thought he was about to launch and now it's all gone quiet.
people, you know, it's very difficult. I will say, honestly, as a South African trying to read up on America, it's very difficult to actually get the whole story. Because you would go online, you say, okay, what is Trump doing now? You know, what's Trump up to? Let me read a story about, like, just telling me, you know, what the Oak's been up to for the last 2-3 months. Then you have this very biased, one-sided opinion, you know, that he's just, you know, he's wasting away. He's basically, you know, mentally incapable anymore. And you just think to yourself, wow, you know, you just can't take it seriously. What is actually, you know, been over-exaggerated by the media, under-covered by the media. It's very difficult and hard to compare to trying to find out something about someone in South Africa. In South Africa, just information just doesn't exist. Find out what Zuma was doing last month. You would just find out what he did publicly. You have no idea about his personal life, you know?
Yeah.
So I think Trump's having a hard time at the moment. I mean, he really did a bad thing, let's be honest. I mean, he used his social media influence to try and go against basically the democratic system, you know? He tried to obscure that in some ways by, you know, having this by giving quote unquote permission to his followers to, you know, commit a crime and try and interfere with the election process, regardless of right, wrong, you know, cheaters, non-cheaters, it being rigged or whatever. You know, he used his social presence to do that. So he's rightly banned, in my opinion, from these big companies. But it also it's a power speed wobble, in my opinion. I mean, you go from thinking you're not even a social network can touch you, you're above and beyond, and now you're banned from having a public opinion. I mean,
we have a response on the WhatsApp line from somebody listening about the rocket thing.
That's the response. Looking out the window, opening and closing it, running to the other side of the house. Oh my word, what is happening?
A little bit worried there. Oh dear.
The odds that it lands in the water is much greater than the odds that it lands on land.
Yeah.
And the odds that it lands on land that is actually inhabited is also higher. I mean, lower. Because I don't know if anyone's ever fully driven through South Africa, for example. I mean, the used land versus the unutilized land is far disproportionate. There's far more open land than there is closed off city space. In China, that's a different story. You know, every single place that is open has something there. There's either buildings on buildings on buildings, or shops on shops on shops, or roads on roads on roads. Everything is completely built up. And in here, obviously, that's not the case, especially in South Africa. And as much as you go up Africa, it becomes less and less dense less and less, you know, populated. I mean, I think in some places it's heavily overpopulated, but
for sure,
I don't think we're in that much of a danger.
Kane Paul says hello.
Hello, Paul. Good to meet you. We always use that in my company as the coolest term. You meet someone for the first time.
It's, and it's online, so yeah, it's e-meet you.
Great to e-meet you. And I didn't do it at first. People did it,
that's,
you know,
so
when
cool.
I met
I
them
like
for the
that.
First time. It kind of just sticks, you know.
Good to e-meet you. Good on e-radio.
So I don't. You have you ever used Apple AirPods?
No, because I use Samsung.
Have you ever used AirPods, wireless
no.
earphones?
No.
There's some speculation at the moment that these AirPods have some unhealthy, you know, EMF or radiation levels. I personally can't weigh in on it because I don't know what is a healthy or an unhealthy amount, and I've never personally tested it. But there must be some good to it because Google accidentally announced their Pixel Buds A on Twitter. I think it might have been a strategic reveal. I think it's a really good way to test the waters. You
or
know.
Could it be a scheduled post that went out at the wrong time?
It could have definitely been. How much in, you know, it's not, that's not necessarily something that just happens. Why don't you don't schedule something and it comes out 3 weeks earlier? You know, someone might have had to accidentally be physically posted. And it's like someone said on Twitter, let's see here what. So the official Android account on Twitter tweeted a photo of the Pixel Buds A series and said the earbuds have arrived. The social media post advertised the recently redesigned fast pair experience. There is, however, no accompanying made by Google announcement or Google Store retail listing. They are officially referred to as the Pixel Bud A series in both the social media post and the attached image. The pair shown it's predominantly white from the circular touch sensitive dome to a gray, light gray upper underside and stabilizer arc. I mean, it's very difficult to describe the appearance of a bud, of an earbud.
Mm.
But Google will have their own. It will have fast pairing. It will have all of these features. I don't really buy into it that much. I'm finding it's a lot more enjoyable to listen to music and have calls when you have a louder speaker. I mean, it's not so private. But personally, when I go and do exercise, for example, I mean, if I were to put in wireless earbuds, it's very congested almost. There's a feeling it's very blocked.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a lot of airflow almost.
Yeah, that's not lekker.
And then you kind of want that free flowing, I'm out in the open, I can hear, you know, everything around me kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely popular, and it'll be very interesting to see if that's something that they kind of commercially released. Have you ever bought a Google product? They had the Google Pixel, it was a phone. They had a laptop at one stage. Have you ever had a Google product?
I almost bought Google Home.
Was that the home system?
It's that little thingy that controls everything in your house. So it syncs with your phone, and you can switch on your lights.
Why didn't you?
I don't know. It's not that expensive.
Really? I've never even looked into it.
No, I added it on my wish list. But that was it. I didn't get beyond that, actually.
I've never had a Google product. Same. I'm actually fascinated by it.
Let me just think, I can't believe you haven't had a Google product.
I don't think I've ever come... I mean, it's always been like, you know, the generic Acer, HP, Lenovo, Razer. Those are all the brands that have kind of filled my whole life. I haven't had time to really look at a Google product. But I mean, if anyone is listening and they're using a Google phone or they have a Google product, I mean, let us know. Is it a good product? I mean... You would think it's Google, so it must be amazing, but you don't know, you know.
Yeah, when are we getting Google cars?
Google cars. I think we first have to see if we can
put out the fires.
We can just operate normal cars at this stage. We don't need to look for our cars yet. We don't need to search Google for our car. Can you imagine, Google? Can you bring my car around? There it comes outside, hooting, getting frustrated at you.
Yeah,
I can see it happening. Do you use the Hey Google feature on your phone?
No. Should I?
I mean, I went for a massage the other day because I had a shoulder injury, and I thought, no, I'll just do everything that I need to do from Hey Google. And, well, you know, a lot of the stuff that I needed to be able to do, I needed to put in my PIN code. So having a voice, having the ability to communicate instructions to my phone via my voice, but then having to enter in a PIN defeats the point of only using my voice.
Exactly.
I still had to reach for the phone and enter in the PIN.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I almost forgot to mention, if you have DSTV on catch up, there's a movie called Jexi, Jexi. It's almost like Alexa and all those, and Siri, but it's just, she's funny and she loves profanity. So she kind of ruins this guy's life. The movie is really good. It's so funny. It's called Jexi.
I've never watched it.
She would, and then she falls in love with the guy in the movie, the one who plays the lead role. And then he kind of goes out and he sees other people, and then she gets jealous and she sends all kind of funny things to all his contacts and his boss and everything. And it complicates his life, But, you know, she's just, no, I can't say most of the stuff that she's saying, but he will be, hey, Jexi, where am I? Shut your bitch ass up. She's just funny.
Yeah, I gotta give it a while.
She's very feisty.
It'll be interesting to see what would happen. I mean, that we're developing this humanoid AI technology, and if you were to put that in something like an Alexa, I mean, it seems like a really bad idea to give people the ability to build a long-term relationship with something like that. Because that would what would happen if you could build a humanoid device that would, you know, function somewhat like a human and you would communicate with it, it would pick up on certain things and you would develop a relationship. It would be very strange. I can't, doesn't sit well with me.
But he actually has an intimate moment with her. I don't want to give away spoilers. Okay,
don't give spoilers.
Okay.
People would be up in arms.
Yeah. Just you'll see how he, what she wants him to do when it gets to that. Charger.
We gotta see it. We gotta see it. It's on DSTV catch up.
Yes, very naughty. It's very called Jexy. She's very, very naughty. Man, who's the guy playing the lead role now? I can't remember his name now. Very, very, very well known guy.
What I want to know is what's happening with this WhatsApp policy.
Ooh, well, that is my next story. It looks like it's going to be the final story for today.
Is it true that they're going to completely shut down WhatsApp? I mean, like to shut. I'm not going to accept them just so that I can see if my WhatsApp goes down.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that guy is called Adam Devine or Adam Devine.
Oh, that guy.
That funny guy from What's He In. He's in so many, many comedies.
He's such a good actor. I love
him. He is. It was released in 2019, so the movie's about 2 years old. It is so hilarious.
It has not passed my radar. Obviously, it wasn't purchased by Netflix because that's all I watched.
No, my cousin actually recommended it. I'm so glad she did. But that's a potty-mouthed little thing, let me tell you. The stuff she says to him, my God. And she comes on dates with him and spoils it over with. Okay. Just quickly, Amazon's also on a recruitment drive in South Africa with 148 full-time vacancies in Joburg and Cape Town. And then 3,000 new employees will take the total number of employees of Amazon in South Africa to 7,000, making it one of the largest tech employers in the country. And then WhatsApp users have until the 15th of May. That is next week. Where's my calendar? Next week you have until next week, Saturday, the 15th, to accept changes to the Facebook-owned messaging platform's terms of service and privacy policy. If you don't, you'll cut your ass off.
Really, eh? Straight up.
You will lose access, yes. You will lose access. You won't have full functionality.
See them. I wonder what full functionality is.
Have you accepted it?
No.
So you're going to wait?
I'm not going to accept
it. So you're going to wait until the 15th, not accepted, and then that following week when you come in for Tech Thursday, you're going to tell us what happened.
Yeah. Exactly.
Jex is going to take over your phone.
If I can't use WhatsApp, I'm going to use Signal. I mean, I don't want to really accept that privacy policy thing. Just on premise. I mean, it was working perfectly fine before it.
Mm.
They need this explicit information. I feel like there's something deeper rooted.
Yeah.
They mentioned that. I have it in front. We're updating our terms and privacy policy. Before you review, here are some things you need to know. We can't read or listen to your personal conversations as they are end-to-end encrypted. This will never change. We're making it easier to chat with businesses, to ask questions and get quick answers. Chatting with businesses is optional. It's our responsibility to explain what we're changing, so we're providing information here, they say. With this update, we're providing more information on terms and privacy policy, how business can manage their chats, more information about how WhatsApp works, and specific examples of how we work with Facebook. And you know what? After reading through that, I'm nowhere closer to figuring out what is so important that you need me to accept this information. You've given me little to no information about what I'm actually accepting.
Forcing me to do it. If somebody forces you, then you're not going to do it, just like you said, out of principle.
So we're providing further clarity about how we collect, share, and use data, the changes to our privacy policy provide. You can download it. See, everything in it is so weird in the sense that you go, you know, you read about this update on WhatsApp, but you don't get all the information. So they tell you to go read a link. So you go to the link to go read more information, and then they tell you that information which you want to read is on another link. So then you follow that link, and it's this whole wormhole of a really long time to actually get to a point where you feel confident in the information that you're actually sharing. And I don't believe that that is the case. So we'll see what happens with it. If people have accepted it, it'll probably make no difference to you. Will it ever affect your personal life? No, because I believe that the changes that they're making now only affect developments of products later on. It's the ability to acquire the information that they want to acquire seamlessly, which is like a proof of work. That then develops into a system which is much more integral and significant than what WhatsApp currently is. The policy changes that they're making will affect a later product, not this product. So I don't think anybody's information or photos or any kind of private information is at risk. It's just a step that they're taking towards building out WhatsApp into the product that they want it to be. And I, trying to find that out, have not yet been able to put my finger down and say, this is what WhatsApp wants to do with the information. This is where they want to go. And until that time, I don't necessarily feel 100% confident.
So you're saying our nudes are safe for now?
They're safe. They're safe. The only thing looking at them is a algorithm, which is looking at it and saying it is this type of content, so we're putting a tag there.
I love the keywords you leave me, because you just said algorithm, and then that joins with the last story now today.
Oh yes,
you remember I told you last week about that play something button on Netflix? You said you checked out your Netflix and you don't have it yet.
I did not have it. I don't know where it is. I don't think it's on the web-based version. Okay. So if you're on the browser, I don't think you can see play something. I think if you have the app installed onto your TV or smart TV.
Okay, just quickly, how it works is when you hit the play something button, Netflix will obviously show you a film or episode of a show that it recommends based on what you've watched before. So based on your ratings, it's like an algorithm, like you just mentioned, algorithm. And I tried it one night. It just updated itself. It was on my media box. I was like, oh, I don't know what to watch tonight. I don't really want to search for stuff now. So here it is. Let me try it. Play something. And it played the pilot episode, the first episode of Parks and Recreation. And now I'm totally in love with that TV series.
Have you tried Play Something again? Has it given you a second good show?
No. I started watching Parks and Recreation. There's like 6 or 7 seasons, so I'm still watching that, but I'll let you know. But a movie, sometimes you don't have time for an entire movie, but it's so nice. Like, it played Parks and Recreation season 1, episode 1.
Was there a chance it would play a movie?
Yeah.
So it plays a series or a movie?
Yes.
And but, you happen to get a pilot for
a
series.
Yes, and I really like that show. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I have watched Parks one or Recreation. Two episodes.
I was like, oh man, this is... I was so impressed with that feature. Check it out now. Look at your app. Look at your app and see if you've got it. The Play Something button is placed underneath your name in the initial profile gate screen in the 10th row on your Netflix homepage. And also in the navigation menu on the left of the screen. If you don't see it, make sure your app is up to date. Update your app so that you have the latest version of Netflix on your TV or whatever. And let us know how you experience it. I wonder if it only shows you the pilot, or can you pick up in the middle of a series? Because what's the use of that then? Because then you don't know what's happening, what's going on.
I don't think that would be the case. But for some reason, I've seen some series on Netflix start at season 2. And it's not because I've watched season 1. Mm. It starts at season 2 and then goes to season 1. It's the weirdest.
What?
It's the weirdest thing ever.
Yo.
I've seen it. I thought it was just by happenstance, but it's happened like 4 or 5 times.
Yo. That's interesting. Looks like it's the end of the show. Can you believe it? Just after 4 o'clock. If we don't go now, I'm sure the lightning will take us out. Thunderstorm is back outside. That was a nice Tech Thursday today. It will be up as a podcast later. Kane, thank you so much. Let's see you again next Thursday between 3 and 4. People are loving the show. I've actually got a nice love letter here on WhatsApp as well, saying amazing radio hosts. Tech Thursday is always a highlight of my week. Thank you so much. No name.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
No, thank you so much for having me on. It's been another great Tech Thursday. Excited for next week. We're going to bring back some more new and exciting tech news. So stay tuned for that, and we'll see everyone next week.